Hey, before I jump into the message, I am so excited to announce that later this year, end of November, beginning of December is our plan right now, we are launching our 10th CCV campus, CCV Verado in the Southwest Valley. You can celebrate that, all of our campuses. Yeah, you know, it's our 10th campus, and we're so excited about it. You may look at the map and you may think, I mean, are we done? I mean, can we launch any more campuses after that? We're just getting started. You understand that? We are just getting started in the valley. I really mean that. There's 4.6 million people in the valley, and most of them do not know Jesus. And we are going to continue to put campuses everywhere in the valley where people need Jesus. We're going to partner with other churches to lift up other churches. We want this valley to be reached for Jesus, and we will do anything to make it happen. We're going to continue to launch campuses. And this one in Verado, just to give you a picture of what it looks like right now, it's really coming along quickly. It's right in the heart of this neighborhood. Just to give you a closer look on the map, it's right off of I-10, kind of just north of I-10. The crossroads are Sunrise and Indian School. And it is going to be phenomenal. And I want to just invite you that if you know someone that lives in that area, if you're in that area, please, you can go to ccv.church. You can sign up to be on the interest list. We'll keep you updated on the launch timelines. But today, I'm really pumped to introduce you to our campus pastor in Verado. His name is Aaron Byram. He's coming with his wife, Tracy. If you'd help me welcome them to the stage right now, we're just pumped to have them. Man, you guys. Oh. I am just so fired up to see what God is going to do through these two as they're building their team right now. The campus is so close. They've been a part of CCV for over 20 years, Aaron and Tracy have. And so they're part of us. It's amazing. And most recently, Aaron has been at our Scottsdale campus as our associate pastor. And so I'm so excited for those of you that are going to be on the campus to meet these two, meet the entire staff. But I thought right now, could we just pray for them and this new launch and just ask God to be a part of reaching more people and a part of the valley that we're excited to be there. So let's just pray together. God, I want to thank you for what you're doing in our church. Thanks for the opportunity to just launch another campus. God, I want to thank you for the people that financially invest in CCV that allow that to be possible. And thank you for leaders like Aaron and Tracy who step up to the challenge, and for the many volunteers that are going to be a part of that church, and for the many people that don't know Jesus that are watching this be built and just wondering what it's going to be. And I just pray as a church, we'd surprise that community with just our reach and just pointing them back to you. God, you change people, not us. The building's just a tool, and we ask that you use it for your great good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Aaron and Tracy. Thank you guys so much. Yeah. Well, I am just so excited on all of our campuses that you're here this weekend as we kick off a brand new series called Iron. And to just kind of get us, you know, show you where we're headed and get us headed in the same direction, last Christmas, I got a gift from one of my closest friends, and this is what he gave me. He gave me the Wusthof knife carving set, all right? Anybody own a Wusthof knife out there? I've never owned one, so many of you haven't, but if you look it up, it's one of the, like, it's this really high-quality knife. It's made in Germany of the highest quality metal, and as I was reading the brochure, it said, this knife is guaranteed to stay sharp twice as long as other knives, and that just caught my attention because I don't know if it's just me. I actually brought my actual knife set from home. And I actually really enjoy, like, carving a piece of meat, or when Jamie needs a tomato or onion chopped, I'm like the first one. I'm like, I will do it. I'm like, I just like chopping. But is it just me? Every single time I grab, like, a knife out of here, mine always seem to be dull. Is this just me? It's like it just doesn't work that well. I'm like, this thing's not even sharp anymore. I'm trying to cut with it. So I was so excited to get this new knife that stays twice, you know, sharp twice as long. But the oddest thing happened. As I've been using this, it got dull too. It's lost its edge a little bit. It just doesn't chop the same way. So you know what I did? I threw it away. No, I mean, duh. What did I do? I do what all of you are thinking this whole time I should be doing, which is like, take your dull knives and start sharpening them. You gotta sharpen them. Every single knife that has existed of all time. I don't care if you bought the Ninja 8000 on the Home Shop Me Network at like 3 a.m. in the morning, which some of you did, because it sold you on its sharpness. Every single knife gets dull over time. Every knife. And so what do we have to do? We have to begin the process of sharpening. And I really believe that this analogy is exactly how our life works. Every single one of us, over time, we become dull. We lose our edge in certain areas of life. And so what do we do? Like, what do we have to do to stay sharp? The Bible is so clear. God told us so clearly one of the main ways that we stay sharp in life. And this is written to us through the wisest man who's ever lived, who should have been able to stay sharp his whole entire life. But listen to what the wisest man in the world said, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so what? So what? One person sharpens another. It's the way it works. So what do we need to stay sharp in life? Iron. And iron is this metaphor we'll use throughout the series that refers to other people. It's iron that you need in your life. Now, I was studying for this series, and as I was looking at just what iron is and just really studying, I realized, this will come, you know, some of you will be like, duh. Iron's not just a metal. Iron's a nutrient we need in our life as well. Do you know this? Do you know what doctors tell us today is the number one nutritional deficiency in America today in people? It's not vitamin C, it's not vitamin D, it's not vitamin B. I mean, you can go list. You know what it is? It's iron. The thing that we are deficient of the most in most people in America today is we lack iron. Do you know what happens when you lack iron? What we're told by doctors is that iron is the nutrient that allows our blood to carry oxygen throughout our entire body. So if you're low in iron, what's gonna happen is you're gonna feel fatigued, tired, and worn out. Is there anyone here that feels a little bit fatigued and worn out in a marriage? I mean, you're barely hanging on. In a dating relationship, you don't know what you should do. I mean, parenting, you're thinking, am I doing this right? Or maybe you've had a child that's hit the demon years, right? I meant the teenage years. Sorry, that slipped out wrong, right? I mean, I'm kidding. We've actually enjoyed the teenage years in our lives, but it's a whole different set of challenges you gotta learn, right? Hey, anybody else feel like you could be sharpened? You're feeling a little tired maybe in your finances. Just feels like you're just living paycheck to paycheck, can't ever seem to get ahead. Maybe it's in your business, like maybe you're a business owner, maybe you work in a company, you wanna keep being a great leader, you wanna keep getting ahead, but you're just not sure if you're as sharp as you need to be. It could be deeper than that. Some of you are dealing with an issue that keeps popping up over and over again. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's anger that keeps coming out of you and you just don't even know why, or maybe it's anxiety, or maybe it's a substance that you just keep falling to over and over and over again. It keeps rearing its head in your life. Or for many of us, it's spiritual. It's spiritually. Like we know spiritually, we feel a little worn out. We do not feel sharp. What do we have to do? We gotta keep coming back to this concept that is iron that sharpens iron. You're gonna get dull and you have to keep coming back to this idea that it's iron that sharpens iron. It's iron that we need in our life. Now, if there's anyone here that would just say, you know what? I feel sharp in every area of life right now. This series is probably not for you. As a matter of fact, I just want to say to you right now, we're just honored to be in your presence right now, okay? I mean, you perfect. You're just so perfect. I'm sure that your spouse and kids feel very honored to be in your presence all the time as well. They're so lucky. I'm sure they tell you that all the time too. No, what do we all know? What do we all know? We all know that at some point we need iron. We need other people to sharpen us. And that's what we're gonna talk about in this series. This series is gonna be powerful. And so what we're gonna talk about today is I wanna talk to you about inviting iron from above. In the weeks to come, we'll talk about inviting iron from all around, and we'll talk about having iron that goes beyond just you. But today, I want to talk to you about inviting iron from above. And I want to talk to you about the concept of inviting mentors to come into your life and sharpen and renew you in certain areas. Let me just give you a definition of mentorship. This is just my definition, but maybe this will help you if you want to write it down. A mentor is someone whose hindsight can become your foresight. A mentor is someone who has experience, their hindsight and their past. They've been through things. They've done things. They've been there. They can help you and give you foresight to change your future in a certain area. And here's what I want to say really, really strongly. Every Christian needs a mentor to grow. And I really mean that. And I mean that with 100% certainty that every single Christian, if you want to grow, you've got to invite iron from above, mentorship. And here's why I say that so strongly. It's because in every stage of life, there's someone ahead of you that can sharpen you. In every stage of life. I mean, just think about real life examples. You never hit a point where you go, I've arrived. I mean, Steph Curry is the best shooter in the NBA. I don't think anyone would argue with that. Do you understand? He has a coach. He has a shooting coach that works with him all the time. Steph Curry. Michael Jordan had Phil Jackson. Tom Brady has Bill Belichick. The Seattle Seahawks have the Arizona Cardinals to look to, right? Amen. The Cardinals are going to mentor the Seahawks this year, all right? In our new offensive scheme. That's right, Seahawks fans. Okay, we'll give it to you. It doesn't matter what area of life. I'm telling you, you've never arrived. In September, man, we have a huge surprise coming in September. I'm going to bring to CCV and interview him here on this stage, the number one ranked CEO in America today. I mean, think about this. Higher ranked than Google, Apple, Microsoft. And let me tell you what I know about him because I know this. I know him. He has a mentor. He's always had a mentor, even to this day. Now, what some of you are thinking right now is you're thinking this. Well, yeah, but Ashley, I mean, I'm 70, 80-ish years old. I'm further in life. I mean, what do I need to be mentored in? I mean, kind of have some time in the rearview mirror, right? I don't know. This? Yeah, some of you need some help, right? I mean, sometimes this generation can help the previous generation. Maybe you heard of the mom. She's a little older, and she was asking her son for some help on all the acronyms that get thrown around on, you know, instant messaging and texting and direct messaging. And so she asked her son, she said, what does IDK, LY, and TTYL mean? And her son just replied, oh, mom, I don't know. I love you. Talk to you later. And so she replied, okay, I'll ask your sister. If you don't get that, you need a mentor. You need a mentor, I'm telling you, right? You just don't ever hit a point in life where you don't need a mentor anymore. You don't. But I want to look at this concept from a biblical perspective. This is so big when we open up God's word. When I study God's word, I have a hard time finding one man or woman. I mean, it's really hard to find a man or woman that God used to do something great in this world that didn't have someone pouring iron into them from above, mentoring them. Can I just give you a few examples? I mean, just think about this. Moses had Jethro, who taught him leadership and taught him delegation. Go read the story. Joshua had Moses, who taught him how to lead and really do it well. Ruth had Naomi, who taught her how to find a godly husband and deal with some tough family dynamics. Elisha had Elijah and taught him how to hear the voice of God. It was so powerful. Mary had Elizabeth, who walked with her and gave her confidence in one of the most difficult times in her life. The disciples had Jesus, who taught them everything, how to pray, how to read scripture, right, how to dive in. Paul had Barnabas, who helped him network and introduced him to some people that he needed at that point in his time. And Paul got mentored, and what did Paul do? He turned back around and started mentoring a young man named Timothy. Then rose Timothy up to be a godly man who made a difference in this world. I mean, look at this list. These are the heroes in Scripture. Let me give you one more. I want to focus a little bit more on this one. Think about David for a moment, who Scripture says is a man after God's own heart. And what I love about David is I think we see in David's life, he had multiple mentors. Let me just show you three. The first one's going to surprise you. Saul. God brought Saul. Saul took David under his wing, and he was a terrible mentor. If you read the story, but what does David do? David learns from Saul's mistakes, which is very key because in a mentoring relationship, you don't have to just learn from someone's successes. You learn from people's mistakes just as much. But later on, God brings along a man named Samuel in David's life. Now, Samuel is the one who anointed David as king, but later on, David is leading and needs some help, and Samuel comes along and really helps David out in a critical time. And then later in his life, David makes the biggest mistake of his life. He has an affair with Bathsheba and ends up killing her husband. And God brings along a man named Nathan to mentor David and bring him back to a place of restoration, which should give hope for all of us. But can I ask you, if you look at that list and you look at all these men and women of God, all throughout Scripture, that invited someone to pour into them, why aren't you doing the same? If mentorship, we know it's critical, we just see it all throughout Scripture, why would you not invite the same into your life? And you know what I think the answer is for many of us? It's not that we don't know we need it. We're not sure how to do it. Like if I wanted a mentor, what would I even do to ask them? What would we even do when we met? If you got asked to mentor someone, you're thinking the same thing, like what would I do? And there's so much confusion and there's so much misunderstanding around the concept of mentorship. So what I'm gonna do today is I'm gonna get crazy practical in this message. And I'm gonna give you 5 steps that I think are critical. If you just do these 5 things, it would allow you to find a mentor and utilize them. So it's 5 steps on how to find and be sharpened by a mentor. Step number 1, if you're taking notes, I hope you are, define what you need most. Now this is really, really critical. It's so important. You have to define what do you need most in life right now. Now the reason this is so critical and so important is because one of the biggest barriers people have to getting a mentor is what I would call this. It's the perfect mentor myth. And here's what I mean. It's like you know you need a mentor, so you're looking for the perfect mentor. I mean, he's gonna be perfect. Let me give you an example. Some of you ladies out there, you want someone to mentor you, so here's what you're looking for. You're looking for a woman who has the perfect marriage. Her and her husband never argue, and she's the perfect mom. Her kids walk around with little halos on their head all the time. They never disobey their mom, ever. She's perfect, and she's so successful in her career, and she balances her career and her family perfectly. No issues at all. She's physically fit, right? She's amazing. She doesn't struggle with anxiety. She's never had a worry in her life. She manages her finances perfectly. She knows Scripture inside and out. Does that woman exist? Well, yeah, but I'm already married to her, so you guys are all in trouble, okay? So, I mean, that's like, I'm just getting brownie points, okay? That's just me. Listen, my wife, Jamie, is not perfect. I am not perfect. The perfect mentor does not exist. And guys, I'm talking to you too, because a lot of guys, we want the perfect leader who's perfect in his finances, the perfect husband, the perfect, you know, dad, and he's got it all together, and he just happens to be perfect in our field that we need to be mentored in. That person doesn't exist. So what are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to look for the perfect mentor. We're going to identify the 1 to 2 areas that we need the most help in our life. And we're not going to find the perfect mentor. We're just going to find someone who's good in those 1 to 2 areas. Let me give you a personal example. One of the first mentors I ever had was a man named Danny. And listen, Danny was not a particularly good leader. He wasn't killing it at work necessarily. He had a lot of flaws in a lot of areas that I saw. But you know what Danny had? He was an amazing husband and dad. And as a young man, that's what I needed most. And I'll never forget meeting with Danny at Fuddruckers over a hamburger. And we would meet every couple months, and he would just pour into me what he knew about marriage and what he knew about being a dad. And today, the marriage I have and the dad I am today is shaped by those conversations I had with Danny all those years ago. But if I was waiting for someone to be perfect in every area, I would have never, ever met with Danny. I would have missed out on all that God wanted for me. So we're not looking for the perfect mentor. Now, I will say this as a side note. I think as you choose a mentor, I think you should choose a Christian if you're a Christian. Even if you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to find a Christian to mentor you. Because I believe the values that align there will help take you further faster. You might say, okay, I'm going to define the one or two areas. Maybe it's parenting, maybe it's business, maybe it's finance, maybe it's, you know, marriage, maybe it's something else that you need very, very specifically in your life. I'm going to define that. But then how would I ask someone to mentor me if I even found that person that was good in those couple areas? And by the way, you can find someone. We have a church of 35,000 people. You can find someone to mentor you. What would I do? How would I ask them? Would I just show up with a 5-page proposal? No. It's so much more simple than we make it. Let me give you point number two. After you define what you need, you make a low-cost ask for a limited period of time. A low-cost ask for a limited period of time. And here's what I mean by that. You know why a lot of people that could mentor you don't say yes when you ask them to mentor you? Because they don't know what it means. There's so much misunderstanding. I mean, the people you want to mentor you, do you understand high-capacity people are so busy? And so they're thinking, okay, if someone asks me to mentor them, does that mean I need to meet with them every single week, every other week? Do I have to provide a lesson plan? Do I have to prepare 5 hours in advance for this mentoring session? No. What are we gonna do? Let me walk you through this. Let me start with this, a limited period of time. You just pick a time period that you wanna be mentored for. Because otherwise they're thinking, am I mentoring this person until Jesus comes back? Here's what I've done. I've typically chosen the time period, and you do what you want, but I've typically chosen the time period of, would you mentor me for 1 year? And I think 1 year, it bounds it. And why that's important is at the end of 1 year, number one, you may have learned what you need to learn from them, but number two, you might want to move on to a different mentor in a different area of life. So, but it's easy if you just say 1 year. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to make not only a limited period of time, you're going to make a low-cost ask. What does that mean? Again, you have to ask yourself, is it realistic for a mentor to meet with me every week? That's 52 times a year. Or 25 times, 30 times a year. Is that realistic? In most instances, no. High-capacity people are busy. So what are you going to do? You're going to make a low-cost ask. What does that mean? Well, I'll just tell you what it's meant in my life. I have never asked someone to mentor me and meet with me more than once a month. Now, if you find someone that can meet more than that, that's great. But for the last 10 years, listen to this. For the last 10 years, I've never asked someone to mentor me more than meet with me once every 3 months. Why? This is my strategy. You can disagree with this. I would rather choose the most high-capacity person and meet with them 4 times a year than I would meet with someone who's lower capacity and meet with them 12 times a year. I'd rather meet with an A-plus 4 times than a C maybe 12 to 15 times. I think I get more value out of that. I'll give you a personal example. One of my current mentors right now is a man named John Maxwell. And many of you know who John Maxwell is. He's written over 70 books on leadership, most of them New York Times bestsellers. He travels over 250 days a year. He's on the road. He's one of the most sought-after speakers and experts on leadership in our world today. Now, if I would have gone to John and said, John, would you meet with me every other week, all year long? What are the chances I get a yes? That's zero. So what did I ask? I said, John, how about for 1 year, I meet with you 4 times. 3 of those will be over the phone. We can conference call each other, FaceTime, wherever you're at in the world, and 1 of those times will be face-to-face. And I'm telling you, I've not done that for the last year. I've done that for the last 3 years because we've just continued in a mutually benefit. We thought it was beneficial to keep going. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you how much I've grown from that. But you make a limited, low-cost ask. Now, some of you are thinking, well, what do you do then? I mean, once you ask them, like, what do you do in the meeting? Like, is he showing up with the lesson plan every time? Again, no, we overcomplicate this. It's not that complicated. We get so rigid and think it has to be so formal. When I look in scripture of how mentorships happen, I think they're very natural and just life-on-life conversations. Now, you might have someone that wants to show up and mentor you and have something really formal, and you're going through something formal all the time. God bless that. That's not been my experience. So what are you going to do? Here's what you do. Point number three. You own the agenda, and you send 3 to 5 questions to your mentor in advance that you want to talk through. Now, let me shift gears and just talk to those of you that are going to mentor someone, because I believe you should have someone mentoring you, and you should be mentoring someone in your life. You should have someone mentoring you, and you should be pouring your life into someone else's life. Now, as a mentor, I'm always trying to mentor one, have someone mentor me, and I'm always trying to mentor at least one person. My schedule usually only allows for me to pour into one at a time, but when I'm mentoring someone, here's what I tell them. You own the agenda. I do not own the agenda. This is your time, and you come with the questions that you want to ask. And here's what I say. My job is not to fill your cup. My job is only to empty my cup. I may not be able to fill your cup. You come with, you know, all these things you need in life. I may not be able to fill your cup, but what I can do is I can pour out my cup, give you all the experience I have on what you're asking, and in the process, your cup might get filled up, but I can't guarantee that. Do you see the difference? When you're asking someone to mentor you, you own the agenda. You take responsibility. You send them questions in advance because in advance, it gives them advanced thinking. It gives you better answers when you meet. Now, some of you are thinking this. What questions would I even ask a mentor? I want you to have zero excuses having a mentor. I put at the end of the notes on our app, I've put a list of tons of questions that I've asked mentors over the years. And in the area of family, of just growth, of business, of leadership, I put a lot of questions. So you can use those questions as a bouncing pad, but you come up with your own. Then you say, oh my gosh, so if we actually met together and I sent the questions, then what do I do in the meeting? Oh, it's complex. It's crazy complex. Here's what you do. You ask your questions, shut your mouth, listen, and take notes. That's literally what you do. And I put shut mouth here a little facetiously, but I did it on purpose, and here's why. I have seen so many times someone ask to be mentored, and this has happened in my life. They have asked me to mentor them, and then they come in, and all they do is talk about themselves. They talk the whole time. And I'm thinking, what a waste. You could just sit in front of the mirror and talk to yourself. If you're going to ask someone to mentor you, then you are not the one doing all the talking. You're doing all the listening and capturing. Listen to what Proverbs 18:2 says. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only what? Expressing his opinion, talking all the time. So what are we going to do? We're going to follow the advice of Proverbs 1:5. Let the wise do what? Say it out loud. Listen. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. To get guidance, you have to listen. That's what you do in the meeting. You're sitting there listening. It doesn't mean you can't ask clarifying questions, but your job is not to push back and give your opinion on a bunch of things. Your job is to listen and capture the learning from someone who's further down the road than you. That's why you're meeting with them in the first place. Then what's the last step? Here's what you've done so far. You've defined the 1 to 2 things you need. You've made a low-cost, limited-time ask of a mentor. You've sent your questions in advance you need their help with. You've sat there, listened, and man, you've just absorbed it. You've taken notes. Then what do? This is the most important step. You do it. You do it. You go apply what you've learned. This is the step that most people skip. I think people are addicted to learning sometimes. Like you just want to read one more book, take one more note. Some of you need to be stopped. You need to stop being addicted to learning, and you need to be addicted to applying what you've learned. Do you know the difference? I'm telling you, application is everything. James says that. He says those who, you know, listen and don't apply are like looking themselves in the mirror and forgetting what they look like when they walk away. Listen to what Proverbs 19:20 says. Don't just listen to advice. Listen to advice and accept instruction. Accept it means you put it into practice. You're going to accept it and actually do something with it. And in the end, then you'll be wise. These are the 5 steps that if you go back to these 5 steps, you have zero excuse to finding and utilizing and being sharpened by a mentor. I wonder what area of your life you feel tired in. You feel a little dull. You know you've lost your edge. Many of you, your marriage right now is hanging on by a thread. Some of you, your parenting, what's at stake is your child's future. Some of you, your finances, they need a boost, bad. Some of you spiritually know that you need help getting to a different level and finding. Some of you, just you're even your experience of finding Jesus, you're exploring who Jesus is. You're new here, and you could find someone, trust me, who could help you. But even if you've been a Christian your whole life, we need help moving forward spiritually. Because listen, iron sharpens iron. It's iron that you need, and it starts with inviting someone from above to invest in you. Because remember what a mentor is. A mentor is someone whose hindsight can become your foresight, but only if you utilize a mentor. You cannot go it alone any longer. There's too much at stake. In my own life, I would tell you that the man I am today is because of the mentors I've had in my past. And for many of you, what's at stake today is your future will depend on the mentors you invite into your life in your present. I was thinking this past week of all the mentors I've had, and I was thinking as a young 19, 20-year-old, I was thinking about Dr. Alexander, who took me under my wing when I was dating Jamie and really helped me in some difficult periods during that time of life to point me ahead. I was thinking about just getting married, and man, Jamie and I hit some bumps in the road, like every marriage does, by the way. And we had some huge bumps in the road. And I remember inviting Danny and Jeff and other men into my life to mentor me and show me what it, not only what it looked like to be a good husband, but then when we had kids, how do I parent? I don't even know. And by the way, I still need mentors in my life helping in those areas. When I first got into ministry, Don Wilson was a great mentor to me. And then I began to invite other pastors into my life to continue to mentor me. I can't tell you the number of areas that I've been mentored in my life, from preaching and leadership to marriage and finances and dealing with conflict. I could go on and on and on. The man I am today is because of the mentors I've had in my past. Is it time for you to take the step to get some iron in your own life? So here's the takeaway today. It's very simple. In what area of your life are you going to commit to finding a mentor today? Like, you wouldn't let this next week go by without finding someone. And if you're not thinking of someone, you ask someone around you who would be good to mentor in this area. You define what you need. You make a low-cost, limited ask. You send 3 or 5 questions in advance. When you meet with them, you take notes and listen and just intently soak it all in, and then you go do it. It would transform your life. And for those of you that already have a mentor, I want to challenge you to begin to mentor others. You have something to, all of us have something to offer someone. We have something to offer someone. This past week, I just pulled out some letters that men have sent me, of men that I've mentored in my own life. And I want to read you one. This is a young pastor that I mentored. He said, "Ashley, I want you to know how thankful I am to have been sharpened by you. As Solomon says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And then inside his letter, he actually sent me this pocket knife. And he began to explain that this is, in his opinion, the sharpest pocket knife on the market today. And he said, "Would you be careful opening this knife? It's small, but it packs a big punch. I don't want to be responsible for my pastor's accidental stabbing," which I appreciated from him. But I love his line that something so small can pack such a big punch. And I want you to understand that the simple, simple, simple step of finding a mentor in your life may be the thing that God uses to pack the biggest punch in taking you to where he wants you to be, because iron sharpens iron. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you for the mentors I've had in my life. I want to thank you for the men I've been able to mentor. I thank you for the many men and women in this audience that are mentoring someone right now, and they've invited people in. But God, I don't care who we are. I don't care how many mentors we've had. Every single person here today, God needs a mentor, no matter what stage, no matter what age, no matter where they're at in life. And God, I pray you would just convict us today to have the boldness and courage to not walk out today and think, oh, yeah, that was nice. No, to actually have the boldness to actually do something with what we heard and find a mentor in an area of our life, because God, for some of us, there's too much on the line to walk away and not do something with what you're speaking into our life. So we pray for boldness and courage, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to continue the series next week. Really excited. Until then, go out and get sharpened. See everybody.